This travel show is brought to you by Ted Blank, Luxury Travel and Adventures.
Somewhere beyond the sea, somewhere waiting for me, my lover stands on golden sand and watches the ships that go sailing somewhere beyond the sea. She's there watching for me. If I could fly like birds on high, then straight to her arms.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of The Travel Show with your host, Ted Blank, of Ted Blank Luxury Travel and Adventures. And I got to tell you, it's Thursday, which means we are going to chat it up about all things travel. And I heard that there's a quiz involved, which, you know, Ted, I'm tired. I especially hated pop quizzes, but I'll play along with you because you're
quiz,
so great.
Yeah,
how have you been?
I've been doing really well, thank you.
Good. And what's on your mind today about travel?
Well, I have three things
okay.
on my mind.
Okay.
I have John Lennon okay. on my mind. I have whiskey on my mind.
Oh, boy.
And I have the Loch Ness Monster
oh, boy.
On my mind.
Scotland.
Scotland, Ireland.
John Lennon, Ireland for whiskey. Uh-huh. And John Lennon for England?
Yes, he's from Liverpool.
Liverpool, yes.
England. Actually, yeah, yeah. So I.
How come you have all three of them on your...
Well, I went out there and I was thinking about some great cruise ideas to recommend to folks. And I found a cruise that will get you the Loch Ness Monster, John Lennon, whiskey, and several more things.
Okay, wow, that would really be great. I know we just recently talked about visiting a lot of the national parks in one big fell swoop. This is wonderful. This is kind of the same idea.
The Beatles, Loch Ness Monster, and whiskey all on one trip.
So how can we go about doing that? Who is this through?
Yeah, so this is a cruise that I found. It's called Around the British Isles Cruise, and it's scheduled to take place in September of 2025. So the dates of travel are September 14th through the 26th in 2025, and it's a 12-night cruise, and it starts and ends in Southampton, which is actually the port for London. So after we talk about the cruise, we could talk about some ideas to spend some time in London before or afterwards as well. But it gives you a chance to experience a little bit of Ireland, a little bit of Scotland, and a little bit of England all rolled into one trip.
Oh my goodness. Well, tell us more about this. This sounds just fabulous.
Yeah, so kind of the icing on the cake on this cruise is it's on a pretty special ship, and it's on the Queen Mary II.
Stop it.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. So
imagine, this is a top-notch cruise.
Top-notch cruise on a, you know, the most British ship to exist,
mm-hmm.
and it's a break in the regular transatlantic crossing schedule, so the Queen Mary II usually crosses the Atlantic Ocean, but this is an opportunity to take a cruise on the Queen Mary II. So really incredible ship, amazing destinations, and one of the reasons that I like this cruise is because it has several days at sea scattered throughout the itinerary. And I think, you know, when I talk to people about cruises that they want to take, a lot of times people will choose cruises that have a port call every single day. And that's great. You know, it's a great way to cover a lot.
But that can
but
be
after
rigorous.
That fourth or fifth port, you can be kind of tired out and kind of beat. And so I like this cruise because it sprinkles a couple sea days in between the different ports of call.
Well, let's hear all about it, please.
Yeah, so the ship departs from Southampton, spends the first day at sea, so you have a chance to kind of get acclimated and settled in. And if you want to go catch a show in the planetarium, you can do that. If you want to enjoy afternoon tea, a very elegant afternoon tea served by white-gloved waiters, you know, with the clink of the glasses and those fun little finger sandwiches, you know, just the most British experience you can imagine. You can do that. And then the first port of call is the city of Cork.
Ireland.
Cork in Ireland. Yes, Southern Ireland, your ancestral home.
Mm-hmm.
And Cork is a really neat town. You know, it's actually one of the larger cities in Ireland, which means it's not very big. But it has a castle there, and the castle is called Black Rock Castle. And it was originally built to protect the city against pirates. But if you Google Black Rock Castle, you will see that it is one of the most picturesque castles you can imagine. You know, if you think of what a castle should look like, Black Rock Castle is your answer. So you can see that. Cork has something called the English English market as well. It's not a place where you go buy English language books. It's actually one of those really neat food halls, those food markets, where you can go and taste some local produce and go to a local restaurant, you know, buy some food and go have a nice picnic on the town green. Just a really, really cool experience. And if you want to go a little further out of town, you're not very far from the city of Waterford.
Oh, beautiful.
And Waterford, of course, is famous for its
wonderful crystal.
Its wonderful crystal. So if you want to see how that beautiful crystal is made, maybe bring an extra suitcase to fill it up, you can certainly do that during your visit to Cork.
Did you know there's a Maureen pattern?
I did not.
Yes.
No, indeed. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's very ornate.
Very ornate. Does it come with a nacho plate?
It should. I should have nachos on my fine china.
There you go.
Uh-huh.
So then you'll spend another day at sea before you visit the second stop on the trip, and that is the city of Liverpool in England. And Liverpool is, of course, the birthplace of
John Lennon,
and a few of his friends, Paul McCartney as well. And so it is also, interestingly enough, the birthplace of the Cunard Line, which is the company that owns the Queen Mary II. So this is kind of almost a spiritual visit back to sort of the ancestral homeland for this ship. And so you can go tour John Lennon's birthplace, Paul McCartney's birthplace. You can see some of the historic buildings in downtown Liverpool. There is a building called the Cunard Building, which was originally the headquarters of the Cunard Line. There's a building called the Liver Building, also a really famous building in history. And one of the neat things to do in Liverpool is to go see the Strawberry Fields. Now, you remember the song?
Of course.
Of course, the Beatles song. But I actually thought that the Strawberry Fields were like a berry patch where you went out into the countryside and picked some berries.
They're not.
But they're actually not at all. It's a very interesting story. It's a historic home, and it was built during the Victorian era. And after the original family moved on, they donated it to the Salvation Army. And so the Salvation Army basically used it as an orphanage. And as a result, it had a park on the grounds. And wild strawberries grew in this park. And that's actually where John Lennon played as a child, because it was very close to the home that he grew up in. And so now today, it's actually preserved, but it's still used by the Salvation Army as sort of a vocational training school for, you know, people who need help with vocational training. Oh. But the grounds are open to the public, and you can actually go to the Strawberry Fields Park. So really neat. Beatles experience, but also kind of another experience. And I think traditionally when the Queen Mary II goes home to Liverpool, the locals kind of pull out the red carpet. So I would expect some fireworks, you know, maybe a drone show. Pretty cool experience when you're in Liverpool.
Wow, that is awesome. So then we're on day what, three?
We're up to day four now.
Day four, okay.
Yep. So we're going to head north to Scotland and actually do some scenic cruising through those beautiful islands off the coast of Scotland and stop in the town of Oban on the Isle of Mull in Scotland. And Oban is just this cute little highland, you know, Scottish island town. If you are into whiskey, this is a great place to go. There's a distillery there. It's called Tobermory. I don't probably pronounce it quite the
Sounds
way a Scottish person
me.
Would be. But it was founded in 17...
You have marbles in your mouth.
Marbles in your mouth, exactly.
Put some under your tongue.
Well, it was founded in 1798. So it's a 300-year-old distillery, and you can taste some authentic Scottish island whiskey when you're there. And so then it's off to our third kind of secret scavenger hunt on this trip, and that's to the port for the city of Inverness. And Inverness is located in the Scottish Highlands, not the islands, but the Highlands. And so it's a really picturesque part of the country, big hills. If you ever watch that James Bond movie where they go to his ancestral home, it's set in the Scottish Highlands. But Inverness is the home, of course, of the lake called Loch Ness.
Yes.
And so you can go on a hunt for the Loch Ness Monster.
Where do we
Inverness.
Stand on that?
I don't know. I wouldn't go on this trip expecting to see the Loch Ness Monster. It'd be kind of an added bonus if you do. And if you're not into monster hunting, there's a lot of other things you can do in the area.
You can't go there not monster hunting. Yeah.
But if you remember your Shakespeare wrote a play called Macbeth, and it is set at a castle called Cawdor Castle, which is in Inverness, near Inverness, so you can go see that.
Okay.
And there's also a very famous battlefield there called Culloden. And there was a very famous battle there in British history in 1745, where the last gasp of sort of Scottish independence took place. It was actually a battle between one of the deposed king's sons and stuff like that. But it happened about 30 years before 1776. And so as you learn about the Battle of Culloden, you learn a lot about why the British kind of behaved the way they did during the American independence movement, which happened not very long after this, right. this kind of resurgence of Scottish independence.
Interesting.
So interesting tie-in to the United States.
Wow.
As well.
Love that.
Yeah.
So we're up to day what?
I think we're on to day six now, maybe day seven. I've lost track of my days, but we're going to head to
Edinburgh. That's what a good vacation is.
The thing about a perfect vacation, yeah. We're going to head to Edinburgh. It's, of course, the capital of Scotland. And a lot of people don't know this, but Edinburgh is actually built on top of an extinct volcano.
Oh, I did not
know
that.
Yeah, so there's a hill, there's a big hill in the center of Edinburgh, and it's an extinct volcano. It's called Arthur's Rock. And on top of Arthur's Rock is Edinburgh Castle, which is another, you know, very quintessentially medieval castle and fortress, very, very historic. And if you head down the hill from the castle, you walk along a street that's called the Royal Mile. And at the other end of the Royal Mile is actually one of the royal palaces in Great Britain. It's called the Palace at Holyrood House. And so if the king or Queen Elizabeth, when they would live in Edinburgh in Scotland, this was their royal palace in the city of Edinburgh. And it's actually open to the public. So you can tour it and see inside of a real royal palace where a real king lives. So real interesting things in Edinburgh. It's one of the most beautiful capital cities in Europe. Certainly very, very famous as well.
Mm-hmm. So golf. Do we get to...
You could golf in the Scottish Highlands. There's a lot to do. Mm. So Edinburgh is the last port of call. Then one more day at sea just to kind of wind down, and you'll find yourself back in Southampton in England, where the cruise ends. And one of the great things about going on a cruise from Southampton is that you're flying to and from London. And so from Minneapolis, you can fly nonstop on Delta from London. So easy in, easy out. From that perspective. And our agency is also able to offer some great added values to folks on this cruise. So this cruise will have a professional host traveling with the cruise, and his or her job is to kind of make everybody feel welcome on board the ship. They will invite you to a welcome aboard cocktail reception, an exclusive cocktail reception. And we've actually included a complimentary shore excursion as well. So we don't quite have the details on that yet, but one of these experiences that I talked about or something very similar will actually be available to our guests complimentary. So that's a couple hundred dollar value, certainly for each person, and just makes it that much smarter of a choice in terms of all the cruises out there.
And because we are flying in and out of London, I'm sure you could put together a package on land
absolutely.
To really take advantage of all there
absolutely,
is to see there.
Absolutely. And of course, London is one of the most amazing cities in the world, and you could spend weeks and weeks and weeks there and not see everything. One of the things I like to do when I travel is I kind of scout for hotels and try to find hotels that I really like. And so I have a couple favorites.
And what makes a favorite for you?
You know, I like very authentic, very local, very unique, great location, great staff, great service, very comfortable. Those are kind of my criteria. And so one of my favorites is a hotel. It's called the Haymarket Hotel, and it's located in the Theatre District of London. It's just, you know, a little gem of a hotel. It only has 50 rooms.
Boutique-y.
It was originally designed by the architect John Nash. And if you spend a lot of time in London, you'll probably hear about two architects, John Nash and Christopher Wren, who designed St. Paul's Cathedral. Well, Nash designed part of Buckingham Palace, very famous in the 17th century. The hotel was built in the 1700s, and it was designed by John Nash. It's actually connected to the Theatre Royal, which is the third oldest theatre in London. So if you want to catch a show, you just walk down the hall and there's the theatre. It's owned now by a lady who's an interior decorator, and her name is Kit Kemp. And her company sort of buys old buildings and converts them in a very sensitive way into modern hotels, kind of like the Confluence Hotel here in Hastings. She has a little different architect or a little different interior design taste, but absolutely gorgeous hotel. It's got one of those great little charming restaurants where the locals like to come out and eat in the restaurant, so you know it's a good restaurant. And it actually has a swimming pool in the basement as well, which is very, very unique in London. So it's a great hotel. Again, we have some added value there. We have a package we can put together for folks that includes a complimentary full English breakfast, early check-in, late check-out, an upgrade where available, and 100 British pounds to spend in one of the restaurants or bars at the hotel.
Nice.
So yeah, we can add some nice value to that. And we can help set up all those neat experiences in London that you've heard about and you really want to see, you know, going on a walking tour to see the changing of the guard, Tower of London, Westminster Abbey. One of my absolute favorite things to do in London is to take in a show, maybe go to an afternoon tea at the Ritz, or at Fortnum and Mason, or on the way to Southampton to catch the ship, stop at Windsor Castle and have a guided tour of that very, very unique and very, very historic landmark. So lots to do in London before or after the cruise. Easy in, easy out, nonstop flights from Minneapolis. And I think this is a great itinerary. And just the fact that it is on the Queen Mary II, you know, visiting that spiritual home of the Cunard line and also the home of John Lennon. I think it's going to be one of those real memorable trips of a lifetime.
Boy, it sure seems like it. And again, you can help us put that together because once we get to you fly into London.
Yep.
And then you would help us get a...
Yeah, we put together a totally seamless package with transfers, sightseeing, a hotel, transfers to and from the ship, everything you need. We'll help you plan the excursions as well and make sure, you know, if you want to see the strawberry fields, if you want to go find the Loch Ness Monster, if you don't want to fly the Loch Ness Monster, we can help you plan all of that.
Ted, this is so exciting. How did you hear about this particular... Is it a... cruise? Is that
what we call it?
It's a cruise,
yeah. Okay. Well, I spend a lot of time booking cruises for people and planning cruises for people.
Sure.
And so I'm kind of a connoisseur when it comes
to
cruises.
And this one popped up.
And this one really popped up at me. You know, every season I kind of start to think about 18 months ahead and look at what I think are some of the neatest cruises that are out there. And this one really popped up, you know, the connection between the ship and the history, the ports of call. You know, it's something that you can do in a little over 2 weeks, makes it really doable for a lot of people. And, you know, we're able to offer some great added value as well. So it leapt off the page at me.
I love it. And you've said before that there is no ship like
the Queen Mary II. And she is one of the largest ships in the world, but her passenger capacity is surprisingly small. So if the Queen Mary II was one of those Caribbean cruise ships you see on TV, she'd probably carry more like 5,000 passengers, but she carries about 2,600 passengers. So very spacious ship, incredible amenities to enjoy those days at sea, great choice of restaurants, great entertainment. You know, everything from a disco to ballroom dancing. If you're a ballroom dancer, they actually have a sprung dance floor, which means you can dance without your feet getting sore. Very, very unique at sea. They have fencing lessons that you can take. You can learn to dance. The last time I was on a Cunard cruise, I learned how to do the foxtrot.
Oh,
not very well. I think I need a little more practice.
Hidden talent.
So yeah, hidden talent there. And just, you know, there's actually a Cunard history trail that you can pursue. They will bring on board some lecturers who are going to talk not only about John Lennon and the you know, Scottish and Irish whiskey, but they also talk about other interesting
topics.
Didn't
you say Dr. Ruth came on board?
Dr. Ruth was on one time. One of the other cruises we were on, Queen Elizabeth's former press secretary was on there. You know, astronomers, art historians, real top-notch lecturers. So there's so much to do on those days at sea, you know, that you almost don't want to get off. Mm-hmm. But there is neat stuff to see on shore
as
well.
How can we learn more, please?
Yeah, so the best way to learn more is just to give me a call at 651-964-8245. We can pop a brochure in the mail, let you know more about it. You can also visit my website, tedblanktravel.com. And we have a new office, by the way.
Okay, how is
well.
That going?
I know.
It's so
yeah,
exciting.
Yeah, we've moved. We've moved into downtown Hudson, Wisconsin. So we have a new office in downtown Hudson. So folks are welcome to stop by. Just give us a call. We'll set up an appointment. Come on in and we'll show you the new office and talk about this cruise or any other vacation you're planning.
Ted, I'm so excited for you in so many ways. Congratulations
Thank
on
you.
All your success. And this sounds like a great, great trip. And again, if you want more information, do get a hold of Ted. He's very generous with his time. And you are listening to another edition of The Travel Show on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA. In Hastings. This travel show has been brought to you by Ted Blank, Luxury Travel and Adventures.
Somewhere beyond the sea, somewhere waiting for me, my lover stands on golden sand and watches the ships that go sailing somewhere.